Okay, so what I want to, we're going to read just two psukim, the beginning of the parsha, and we're going to ask, were the Bnei Yisrael prepared for war? So it says, "Vayehi b'shalach paro sa'av l'racham l'kim derech eretz plishim kikorofu, ki amar l'kim pein nechem am b'rosam l'chom v'shalom mitzrayim." So when Paro sent the people, Hashem did not allow them to go by the way of the plishim, right? If they would have gone straight up the Mediterranean coast, the new Riviera, right? if they go off that coast, they can get there pretty quickly. But Hashem did not want them to go by the way of the plishtim because it was close. Because Hashem said, "Oh my gosh, maybe the people they're going to relent when they see war. They're going to return to Egypt, right?" So what happens? Ve'asev elokiv asav derechud bar yamsuf. So Hashem made them go. By the way of the Yamsuf, he made them go south. And v'chamushim alu b'nei sam mitzrayim. But chamushim, okay, we're gonna ignore the midrash for now. Rashi says, I'm only quoting the pshat that Rashi says, chamushim means mezuyanim. They went out armed. They went out with weapons. So I guess I'm trying to figure out, God does not want them to fight the plishtim, or they're not ready for war, yet they're taking weapons. Like, what's the purpose of weapons?
Ultimately, you're going to need weapons, I mean, at some point.
So now, what you're saying is that...
It wasn't the right time.
You're saying that they weren't afraid to go to war, but there's just... They have to wait till they deal... They can't go to war against the plishtim. Is that what's going on here? Like, in other words...
I think they would have had war right away.
Okay, so now they can't have...
Close.
Okay.
The
weapons they have is for use, let's say, a year from now, or I don't know, a few months from now.
Yeah, even weeks. I mean, just to get acclimated to being free, and then it's
okay.
Going to attack
them. Okay, all right. So what's interesting, though, is like, you would think that, if that's God's plan, and then what happens? V'yavo amalek v'yolchem yisob b'yofidim. So, like, you know, get them acclimated, don't let them go by the way of the plishtim, yet, lest they relent and come back to Egypt. It seems like God is trying to do things naturally. In other words, he could have scared off the plishtim, but he says, we're going to do this normally, naturally. And yet, he leads them, I guess, into Amalek.
Maybe they were weaker.
So Amalek was weaker.
Yeah, Amalek stabbed in the back, I thought. Didn't they come
right. But I'm saying it's like, did Hashem want them? Like, I guess, this is like a tough question, because there's like a tension between like, Bechira Chavshu's free will versus, you know, part of God's plan. So he doesn't want them to go to war against the plishtim because they're not ready to fight the plishtim, they're not ready to fight at all. But they're ready to fight Amalek. He's saying Amalek was weaker.
Is it initiating versus defense?
So they're saying they had no choice. Yeah, so they're ready to go on defense, but they're not ready to go on offense yet. That's what he wants to do. Okay. So I'm gonna try to sort of flesh this out a little bit. I'm still gonna develop sort of two different approaches and spend some time in the second approach. Did the Bnei Israel have no heart to fight at all? Or do they have no heart to fight the plishtim? Like, was it a thing about the plishtim versus in general? Right? I'm sure some of you may have learned some sources associated with their. But I don't know, what are your thoughts? Do you think they weren't ready to fight the police? They weren't ready to fight at all? I guess, no, you're saying they were ready to fight at all for a little bit.
Yeah.
Right, for a little bit. Okay. So I think there are a couple of ways we can look at this, right? The Ramban says, Hanachon, Shiomar. The Ramban represents the approach that they weren't ready for the police. He says, Lo nechom lekim derechav plishtim, asheru karov v'tolan chosav derechahu. So Hashem did not allow them to go by the way of the plishtim because it was close. And they might relent in this path. Because Hashem said maybe they're going to relent when they see war, they're going to turn to Egypt. But Tam Lachama, why the war? Because the easiest way to go into Eretz Yisrael is by way of the plishtim, from the south. Well, how'd they go in the end? They came from which direction?
The west.
They came in from the east, right? They came in, they went south, south, east, 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 and then they come from the east to the west. It took him 40 years to do that. But the quickest way is to go straight derech eretz plishtim. Plishtim lo yinu lavor b'shalav yeshuv mitzrayim. The plishtim won't allow them to go peacefully. Apparently the plishtim were not part of Eretz Yisrael. Right? The Palestinians are not part of Eretz Yisrael. They are south. And above, and so Could they just simply say, we just want to pass by you and go into Eretz Yisrael? Right? Now, the Plishtim are not, I don't know, are they, they're not one of the seven nations. Right?
Well, they were foreign anyway. They're from Greece.
They're foreign, right, right. So I'm saying, they're not one of the seven nations. And they weren't going to allow them to go peacefully. And the Bnei Yisrael might return to Egypt. But they're coming bar. But in the way of the desert, lo yiru melchama, ani yosam baritzam, be'eretz Sichon v'og. So how would they go? I should have brought a map. But like the way they go is they go south, right? East, 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 until they're in modern-day Jordan, which is the land of Sichon and Og, the kings of Amori. Shin is Sunalahem, that's that land is given to them. Urachokihim mitzvah be'sahi. So they're going to be very far from Egypt at that time. So the Ramban sort of takes a similar approach to what Noah's saying that, is it an issue of time or maybe an issue of distance? In other words, if the Bnei Yisrael like travel a little bit and they see war, they're afraid. So then they'll say, okay, we'll just go back to where we were. We'll go back to Egypt. If they're really really far away, then they're not necessarily going back, right? I mean, this is before it's supposed to take 40 years, but I'm saying that's a much larger journey. So he's just saying the issue was we need when they first fight, they got to be far away from Egypt, so that
they don't have like an exit plan.
What about Amalek? Amalek, your feed them loyos ruila shibarva. The Bnei Yisrael were not going to return because of Amalek. Why? Kihem lo yavru alehem. Because it's not like Bnei Yisrael went into Amalek territory. What were Amalek? Yeah, because where did Amalek live? What was their, like, do they have a home?
Seir, right?
Well, Esau was Seir. Amalek, they're a bunch of nomads. They go from place to place. Vushibah Mer. So maybe you're right. Amalek came from their land and fought to attack. Right, because they hated us. Vim Yitnu rose to shoot Mitzrayim. So let's say Bnei Yisrael said, okay, we're going to retreat, go back to Egypt. What would have happened? Lo Yehiel wouldn't have helped them. Ki lochem hamader. They would have fought them on the way. In other words, Plishtim, they would say, you know, you cannot pass, and then Bnei Yisrael would have returned. Amalek went to help. So the Ramban is basically saying that Bnei Yisrael, you know, that Hashem wants to make sure that Bnei Yisrael are far away from Egypt by the time they're first facing war, because they weren't prepared at this point. A slightly different version of this, so that's, the Ramban is basically about distance. Chizkuni says that it's a halach on the Plishtim. Chizkuni says, B'ro samachama, Shaplishtim yu svurim oleinu heim ba'im limkom b'nei Ephraim. So the Plishtim will think that why are they coming? To wage war against, to take revenge on the people of Ephraim. Shaharagnu, that we killed, Aydi Shemiru, let's say, Mishibu Mitzrayim Lamashan, because they tried to leave Egypt early 30 years. Now you might think it's just like a crazy medrash or whatever. The truth is, I should have brought the psukim. In Divrei Hayamim, there actually is a reference to the children of Yosef actually going to Egypt, right? Descendants going to Egypt. I'm sorry, going from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael, and then being defeated. So there actually are psukim. So there's not like some kind of made up medrash. The big question is, when did this happen? So some might say it happened actually in Yosef's time, and some say it happened actually much later. So I'm saying, my point is, this is not simply like a pie in the sky made up medrash. There's actually in Pesukim in Divrei Hayamim, which talk about how Yosef's children or descendants actually go, and then they try to tie this to the famous discrepancy. What's the famous discrepancy? Because the Avram's children were descendants, were strange for how many years? How many years? So I better be able to know. 4 years since the Brisbane Summer, and yet in last week's Parsha, how many years did it say last week's Parsha? Who learns?
210.
No, you're just saying 210 because that's Chazal. They never said it. That's because we do the math. We do 60, right? Yisrael 60 when he gave birth to right, it's from it gives birth to Yaakov, and Yaakov's 130 when he came down. But when at the end of Parshas Bo, it says Moshe ben Yisrael, sure, whatever the time they were there was 430 years. That's this whole big like discrepancy. So you know, people try to Mefarshim try to put this all together. They're trying to put this all together. But anyway, so there's one version which basically Chizkuni says, right? Behem tal lemanos arba meil shana mizman brisbeim sarim below hischilu Ella Mishal Yisrael. So they thought the 4 years starts from the Brisbane, I'm sorry. But it really starts from when Yisrael was born. So the concern, why is Plishtim, why would Plishtim not allow the Bnei Yisrael to pass through their land? Because they would think that Bnei Yisrael coming to take revenge because we killed Bnei Ephraim. Another explanation is, was this Ki Karovu, right? It says Bnei Yisrael, Hashem didn't want Bnei Yisrael to go to Plishtim, Ki Karovu. What's Karov?
Close.
The Karovu Avimelech, Karovu Leparo Melech Mitzrayim. They're buddies. You can imagine they're allies. And by the way, didn't Avram make a treaty with Avimelech? Plishtim? He said we're not gonna fight with each other. Elokach lo nacham derech eres plishim penny lachamu Yisrael imahem v'adam hashua kayemes. Also, there's another possibility is maybe the shvuah is still there. Maybe the shvuah is still there that they can't fight against the plishim. So, bottom line is that one way of looking at the Bnei Yisrael is that they had weapons. Why do they have weapons? Because they were gonna fight, but they weren't going to fight who? They were ready to fight, but they weren't gonna fight the plishim. They had to go around. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at this, though, is that another way of looking at this and say they weren't ready to fight at all. Like, Plishtim, anyone. Even Ezra, his famous slave mentality. This is the pasuk here, right? He's like, you know, the big question, of course. Even Ezra quotes in this pasuk where everyone's asking, the Bnei Yisrael witnessed the 10 plagues and power is chasing after them. So why are they scared? They had God just like turned water into blood. He did the whole lice trick in the wild animals in the darkness, killed the firstborns for God's sakes. Like, why are they scared? I don't know. Why are you scared?
Well, they had the Yamsuf was in front of them.
I understand, but why are they scared of Egyptians if God had just performed all those 10 plagues? Right? What do you think?
It's like such deep trauma.
Yeah, like, it's like your wife's territory, right? So it's like, right, so I'm saying, so that's Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra says in the second line there, how could a camp of 600,000 men, they had weapons from people chasing after them, they should fight. The Egyptians were masters of the Jewish people. Right? They had the slave mentality. How could they fight against their masters? Again, what happened? God fought against their masters. They didn't fight against their masters. God fought. And Umahador Hayotse Mitzrayim. Okay, sorry. And he says, Yisrael near Pim, they're weak, and they're not trained for battle. Halotirai ki Amalek ba'amuad. Amalek came with a small number of people. Lulim tefilas Moshe yachol eshes Yisrael. Without the prayer of Moshe, they would have weakened the Jewish people. And so basically, that's even as his whole point. He says that he had to wait till this generation died out because they didn't have the confidence. Unfortunately, they didn't have the confidence to enter into Eretz Yisrael. By the way, according to Ibn Ezra, like, when do they have faith in God? What does it say? Vayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim meis al svas hayal. Right? When they see their masters dead in the water, literally. Then vayarom es Hashem Hashem Moshe Abdo. And psychologically, they have to see their masters dead in the water before they can get out of it a little bit. Again, but it wasn't enough because they still died in the desert. But this is saying that they weren't prepared at all. So why is God giving them weapons? So what do you do if someone's not prepared? What do you have to do still? They're not ready for war. They're not trained for war. So why do you give them weapons? Why do you give weapons then?
Huh? Shift the mindset?
Shift the mindset, right. You got to slowly. And then perhaps, right. If you look at also the Abarbanel, 1 second. Right, if you look at the Abarbanel, so he says, "V'siper akosuv shechashash Hashem l'chushas levam shel Yisrael." Hashem was concerned to the weakness of the Bnei Yisrael. Sheshuv Mitzrayim, they're going to return to Egypt. Yinatzavim v'chamas haplishtim, they're going to try to be safe in the war of the plishtim. V'utzrach b'avor lachnisam bayam, therefore to take him to the sea. Lachem abin, bring him to the desert. Ime yoshach hamoshim alu Bnei Yisrael, even though they had weapons. V'asumar shebo misham mizuyanim klizayim. they came with weapons. Moshe see, and he said the following, and that's what Moshe said. Atem tavru chamushim. You're going to go with weapons. Kinei am hayot kinei ime yosem botchim b'Hashem. Even though they had faith in God, hayu mizuyanim. So if you have faith in God, why do you need weapons? You still need weapons, right? Al derech sus muchan yom mechma b'Hashem ha'Yeshua. Now you still have to take matters in your own hand. Even if you have faith in God, you still have to have a horse. You still have to prepare for battle, and Hashem will take care of you. Even though they left with weapons, Hashem knew that they didn't have a heart to fight. They wouldn't be successful. Even though they had a tremendous merit that he took the bolt of Yosef, right? Because nevertheless, lo samchu al hanes, they didn't rely on miracles and the schus, right? And Hashem still wanted them to fight in a normal way, and Hashem saw they weren't prepared to go to Derech Eretz Plishtim, and so he took them elsewhere. So even though they had weapons, they didn't have the mindset. Not it didn't the Plishtim, but they still were afraid of battle. Hashem wanted to give them weapons. This is what you need to do, but they were afraid. So the question now, why do you bring Amalek in? Again, you can always say, well, Amalek was their own Bechira Chafshis, only their free will. It's hard to know, like, the combination between free will versus God's plan. But how could perhaps they utilize the war against Amalek for their deficiency? Right? In other words, they didn't have faith, so Hashem brings Amalek, right? So what does that do?
Strengthen their faith.
Why?
Because Moshe was holding up his army, so that, again, that with Hashem's help, they would be
right.
Able to be successful.
Right, so if you see, so if it's interesting. So he says, so Amalek comes and fights with the Jewish people in Refidim. Moshe Yeshua, choose for us men. Let's say Lechem Amalek. What do you mean choose for us men? Like, what do you think he means by that? Like, obviously, choose
warriors.
Men. Warriors. So in other words, you need people who are warriors. Okay? So if you turn the page, the Mechilta says there's a major machlokas. I don't know, big machlokas. The Mechilta. B'char lanu Hashim, Rishua says B'char lanu Giborim. You got to get warriors who also fierce it. Lozer Modai Omer B'char lanu Yirei Chet. You got to choose God fearing people. People who are also warriors. Like it's like is the like what's going on here? Like what's the emphasis? So. What's Moshe really saying here? What's Moshe saying? Like, how's Moshe going to use Amalek? He's going to say, what do you got to pick? You got to pick people who have faith in God, because at the end of the day, Moshe understands that the armies in Eretz Yisrael present a major challenge, and with the superior, even with their weapons, they need people who fear God and people who have faith. So Moshe is sort of trying to use the Amalek battle in order to build the faith of the Jewish people. And then Barbanel wants to say, this was a time of calamity. Anyone know what the story right before Amalek was? What happened right before the story of Amalek? Right? They had the Yam Suf. They go the 3 days. They make the water sweet. Right? So, and what do they call that place? They call it
Meriba,
right? So, because people are testing whether they have faith in God, whether Hashem could take care of them. So Moshe saw they didn't have so much faith. And therefore, what happened? And therefore, he said, "For Shilachain, Baal Le Matzara Zos Lanisha." So, according to Barbanel, Amalek is a punishment because of their lack of faith. Now, you know, I know if you're like parents, we think that punishments. We don't call them punishments. What do you call them? What's the euphemism for punishments? Right, natural consequences. Right. There's the punishment is meant to teach. Hopefully, an educational experience. Hopefully.
We used to call them punishments.
Okay.
Yeah,
I still call
it punishment. Yeah, well, it's a different era. You have to, you know, kids these days. Okay. Okay. So we want to have natural conduct. In other words, the goal is not simply to make them suffer. The goal is to educate them through a natural consequence. So therefore, Ulai Sheshem Laigena Lev Lemachim Lachamosav. Right? He says, because maybe Hashem will not protect them and will not fight their wars. V'hutzrach lilachem b'cheru v'chadis. And maybe they're going to need to fight with a sword and a spear. V'roim zeh, shetzarech li tfilasam ulmachama. You need both. You need both tfilah and machama. V'sheim, and the question is, why didn't Moshe go fight? So the Bar Yonah says, v'shim hu yelech b'tzabah lilachem tachtal tfilaso. You need Moshe's prayer. Right? The Moshe need to pray, and everyone else needed to fight. Lefi shahaya tzarech schus lebelchava, and because he needed the merit of battle, he's hiru bechar l'roshim. Kolomar said, choose men. He's a her shloitachim chami osam hamislonim uvilti maminim Hashem. Don't take people who are complaining, who are the ones who complain. Ella anashim tzadikim v'tovim. You need to pick anashim, good people, righteous people. Shlo yikashlu b'mechama b'avon maseim, that they won't fall in battle because of their sins. And then what is Moshe? Moshe stands at the top of the mountain. Why is he standing on top of the mountain? And to daven. So the Rabbag writes, is to show that Moshe is standing in prayer, and everyone sees that Moshe saw that through his prayer they're going to win. And to build their bitachon. So in other words, the war of Amalek was to build their emunah bit by bit. And so Moshe, when you see someone raising their, you know, Moshe was, what was he doing? He was, he was raising what? Moshe had to raise his hands, right? Moshe had to raise his hand, they'd win. What's the idea of raising your hand in battle? What's the idea of raising? So what do you say? He's praying to God. Is there like a, let's say God's out of the picture. What do you raise your hand for?
Strength,
right? What do people sometimes raise, by the way? They'll raise a flag, they'll raise a banner, right? The Rashbam writes, "V'gav Yisrael shekein derech orche belchama." This is the way of people who are in war. Kol zman sheroim haromas nisim. Whenever they see, oh my gosh, you know, this is what we stand for, right? We stand for the flag. We stand for this. This is what we're fighting for, and it's building morale. Hey, he's coming. They're strong. Ushu mushlach. It was thrown down. We give lanus. They're gonna fall. They're gonna be defeated. So Moshe is saying, we're raising our banner. But what's the banner? What's the banner for Moshe?
Hashem.
Because what does Moshe build at the end of the story? The end of the story, Moshe builds a mizbeach. You know what he calls it? Hashem Nisi. What's Hashem Nisi? What's a nace? But it's not only a miracle. What else
banner.
Is a nace? A banner. Banner. Hashem Nisi, Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, you're right. Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making for us this nace gadol. Mm-hmm. He's making for us a miracle, but Hashem is also our banner. So, when you put all this information together, you could understand that it's not simply, you know, Plishtim's a problem, and they need to be a little farther away. They were not ready. So, like, I'm giving you these weapons, I know you're not ready for it yet, and we're giving you and again, how to balance the Bechira Chafshis, the free will of Amalek, but Moshe clearly utilizes the battle of Amalek. In other words, Hashem made sure they don't go by the way of the Plishtim. He didn't tell them to go away from, you know, or to find a way that Amalek shouldn't attack them. Because maybe Amalek was a smaller army. But the goal of Amalek, I know we look at Amalek as like pure evil, they attacked us, they weakened us. But in some respects, Amalek for the Jewish people was a training ground to battle with Emunah. That's why Moshe chooses the right people. So Moshe is davening. They're raising the banner of God, the banner of Tefillah. And I think, when you think about, you know, the Amalek story, you know, you think about life. Life is like full of like the small battles. Sometimes, you know, you have the big battle, it's too hard for us. But whatever that big battle is. And so sometimes, every time we win the small battle, we build our faith and we move on to bigger battles. And the key is, in our life, we try to sense Yad Hashem, the hand of God, even in the small battles, the small victories. And then that way we build into the bigger battles, right? Like sometimes, you know, it's something, I don't know, we see someone doing something bad and we don't want to give tochacha because like, I'm a little uncomfortable. I obviously do it the right way. You know, sometimes overcoming our personal fears and saying, and sort of try to help someone do the right thing. And we might feel uncomfortable sometimes to move out of our comfort zone. And as life is full of these situations where we need to move out of our comfort zone, and by doing that, we don't like it. We don't like the Amaleks, but we win these small battles, or like, you know, tefillah, focusing on this prayer, that prayer, a little thing here or there, or like when we exercise self-control, you know, in one situation. We don't like it, we're uncomfortable, but that's the battle with Amalek. It's the little battles, because at the end of the day, we want to be able to have the faith when we go up against the nations of Eretz Yisrael. And we do that through the little Amaleks here and there. And that's what life is full of, those little things. And we shouldn't look at them. Sometimes you can look at them as being really, really annoying. You can. But by exercising self-control, by showing courage, by showing patience, by doing the right thing, even with these little annoyances, that we're building ourselves for the big battles ahead.